This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the 7th of May here on CliffCentral.com. It is the Gareth Cliff Show without Gareth Cliff. My name is Ben Karpinski, and I am here with Mavali Maloy. And Sia Sangweni.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sia, did you just finish breakfast?
I know.
For someone who never ever eats, and suddenly I look up and it looks like you're...
I felt so bad. I just stepped out. I was like, I have another minute or so. And I was like mid-chew, trying to like...
Can you not wait a couple of hours for your Fruit Loops?
No, this was a biscuit, because it's only normal to start the day off at 6 a.m. with a biscuit.
Okay, well, that's a really good story.
So, thank you. That's how we start things off on Monday.
When Gareth left us last week, he was kind of like non-committal about what he was doing, where he was going, whom he was seeing. But if you go onto his Instagram, he's like at a wedding at Windsor Castle. He's going to all these fancy pants places.
You do remember last week, sometime in the week, he did say something along the lines of he'll be at an event, well, this wedding in particular, where people don't just have names, they have titles.
Yeah.
And they have to address them by their titles.
And when they do have names, it's 17 or 5-3 names. It's like Sarah Pomkin, Konkon.
Thank you.
Printer's Tray, Fire Match, Baton, Ferguson.
Okay, sure. And okay. That too.
So what's happening on his Instagram? What are we seeing?
Well, everything.
He's just at these amazing places where he's just nonchalantly going, oh, Windsor Castle. Not like, hey, look at this. I've always wanted to go to Windsor Castle. I'm at this wedding. This is so incredible. It's just like, yeah, what if?
But I've been able to suss this Mr. Cliff out in certain ways. You know, like he'll pretend like, ugh, it's just another day in the park. Oh, I'm not excited. But when you see him do things like take tons of selfies, and he'll check in somewhere, and he'll let you know where he is, you know he's also just like dying inside.
Oh yeah. I mean, like this is the funny thing is that I think we all see through him, and he thinks he's like being all like
so cool, has this under control.
He thinks he's above it all, but he's fanning out hard right now.
Oh yeah, he's probably the biggest fanboy all of us. But he plays it down so hard.
Yeah,
like Sia went to the Castle Island Locks thing with Chance the Rapper, and he gushed over how incredible it was. And Sia, he's honest. He gives great reviews. He tells you about what he's done. Gareth deep down is just like that, but he'll go, oh, you know, I was just so tired. Like, this roast of some easy, oh, you know, do I have to do it? Oh, TV. I hate TV.
Meanwhile, inside he's doing like
back cartwheels
galore, bouncing off the walls.
Okay, well, look, we all are into him. But if you want to be part of the show today, as per usual, well, nothing really changes. Just that you hear my voice more than you hear Gareth's voice. Otherwise, it's kind of the same show. I say so modestly. WhatsApp 0797482090. Sia, what is the Telegram details?
Telegram is the same number as
okay,
well.
Okay, so the exact same number via the Telegram, and then you can send your messages, your words of wisdom, your weekends, basically. You can share whatever you want with us. Whether or not we say it, we bring it up in the show, well, we'll see with time. But there's a very good chance because I'm feeling happy and giving, because I had a fantastic weekend away.
Oh.
As you can see, I'm sporting more colour. Look at me, middle of winter.
Oh, I didn't. Sure, I noticed, Ben. You went on that couple's retreat.
Yeah, so for the first time, so Daniel and I we love spending time with each other. We go away together, and we're very happy with our own company. But then you get couples who only ever spend time as couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not those kind of people. I never have been. But beginning of this year, we went away with a couple for the first time. It was good. And then we went away with two couples this time. I mean, that's adulting really hard, yeah? And it worked. It was great. It does help that these people are very nice. They're very smart. They're just easy company.
Yeah.
The one couple had a dog, which is always cool. And we went to a place which was no more than, say, 45 minutes away from here in Johannesburg.
Okay.
Which in Friday traffic is a 7-hour drive, of course.
Oh, jeez.
But, yeah, it's so cool. It was an olive farm on the way to Hardebeestpoort Dam. And it was just an incredibly cool weekend. You know, you can just stare at fire, make braais. There was like this little pool with a deck area. Got to fly the drone. So you'll see all this. Like, I'm making the video together. Because, you know, I'm doing this whole 100 Days to Better challenge at the moment, where every 10 days I post 10 things that I do to try and make my life better. It's like this.
Every 10 days?
Yeah. So So every single day, I try add something to my life to make it better. You know, small little things, just so we don't get into this rut come winter. And every 10 days, I put a like, sort of vlog-style video together of all the different things.
Okay.
So great content for this week's video.
Are you going to like commit to all of these things after the 100 days?
Well, this is the hard thing. So you know you have these New Year's resolutions, and of course, Rich Mulholland, who is on Mondays with us, he spoke about New Day's resolutions, but doing all these little things to make your life better. Mm. Because we all say, like, I want to be rich. You know, that's not a goal. That's just like that's a wish. But how do you do these things in order to become better? So the thing I'm doing is small little increments of daily tasks.
Like?
So, well, see, I'm now on to week 4. So 31 to 40 is this week coming now. Mm-hmm. But it could be as interesting as drinking quality over quantity when it comes to alcohol. It could be adding an orange to your day because now it's winter. We did a really good thing, which was backgammon bar crawl. So we played 3 games of backgammon in 3 different places in one day.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
This time around was obviously going away with other people, which is really important. Like a new fitness challenge outdoors, a new fitness challenge indoors, cooking a new recipe. Like, you can get really creative with it. Like, yeah. I went to a bookstore the other day. I haven't been to a bookstore in ages.
So it's like these small little changes that actually add up and they make a big change.
Exactly. Okay, I got you. Well spotted, yeah. And then ultimately, if I can take on these things, put them into everyday practice, then yeah. So that's what I was doing. But this place is really great because there was no one else there. And, you know, this is something that Gareth will obviously be able to sort of relate to. But, like, if you're really rich and you're in Europe or, like, most of the first world, there's no space. This is one of the big things that you have. Even if you have lots of money and, say, live in Monaco, and you can go and you got a villa in Tuscany or whatever it is, but you've always got to go places, go far to find space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you sit there and there's just nothing around you. Like, it's just so amazing to appreciate how we can still do that in this country. Rich, poor, in the middle, somewhere in between. We have space. It's kind of nice.
Mm. I'm still
surprised. And we also have lots of booze.
But I'm still surprised by the fact that still after all of this, you haven't mentioned anything about the other people and how, so you weren't bothered by them and you enjoyed other people's company.
Mister,
I just locked the door all the time.
No, these are friends. These are people who we enjoy the company of. We had a great game of Cards Against Humanity. We played a game called Balderdash.
Look at you, Ben Karpinski.
It was cool. I recommend it. I think it's really great. If you do have friends.
What, social life? Welcome to 2018.
But this is what we keep talking about. We have these jobs that suck our lives dry. Then we have kids that suck our lives dry. This is the general things in life that we forget about these other little things like, well, we should all just go away for a weekend sometime. Mavis, when's the last time you went away with friends for a weekend?
I actually met a whole bunch of new people last night, and it was such an interesting combination of people. It was an American woman who's in the country visiting a friend. Then I met this other woman who's half Serbian, half Angolan, which is a very interesting mix and dynamic. And this couple, like this very sweet, quiet, and just cute couple. And I just happened on these people yesterday. We were all sitting around a fire at some point, and it was nice, you know?
Yep.
Like, it was just one of those moments where you're like, I'm doing something, I don't know, that I wouldn't usually do, but hey, here we are, and I'm having a good time, so it's completely fine.
But isn't it so nice? On the back of all the social media scandal, how they're ruining our lives and seeing everything, we can sit around a fire, and actually, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, little bonfire situation, some wine, some, you know, some conversation. It was nice.
Look at this.
I'm really trying to be supportive here, but I'm like, y'all, it took y'all quite a while.
Sometimes it took us quite a while. See, we're older than you, right? So we have cycles. So we've gone through certain phases and cycles. My buddy and I have been through our mad 20s.
Wow, this has been a very long 4-year cycle of y'all not wanting people around.
In the relative scheme of where we are in our lives, these things do. They're like this. Cyclical is the word. Cyclical?
Cyclical. No, cyclic, yeah.
No, it's anyway. Not. Well, you know what? I don't know what it is.
10 minutes in the chair, I'm already making words up again. So, Sia, what did you do with your, seeing as you're already here, Oracle of Socialdom?
Well, it actually is kind of a crap on your story thing, because I did, like, a prime example of hanging out with tons of people. But I did something that I've been really wanting to do for a very long time, and it seems so weird to say out loud. And
rode a horse.
No, but I've always wanted to just hang out at an old age home.
That is so weird. I went to one yesterday.
I swear. What?
Yeah.
How?
Are you first?
Okay, well, yeah.
Why do you want to hang out?
Not just hang out and just pass the time, but I think there is something to be said about, firstly, older people who've experienced more in life and. But secondly, just because you're older and you're stuck in this place doesn't mean your quality of life shouldn't be as good. So I often just feel bad and I wonder about these old people who don't have much contact with the outside world, or they don't socialize much. And I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I really have been longing for the longest time to just go and spend some time at an old age home. So I've been in communication with one in particular here in Joburg. And so on Saturday afternoon, I went there and it was really, really eye-opening. Mm. And it seems so corny, it seems so cliche, but it's one of those things where you're in an environment that you're not used to, and you're hearing other people's stories, and you're more invested in other people, where you really figure out, like, shucks, you know, your life isn't just everything. You know, some people have it way rough, and other people are going through other things, and it really gives you perspective. When you think about, you know, some people have Alzheimer's, and some people's families are abroad, and so they're stuck here alone, and some of the old people can't even afford to take care of themselves, yeah, in terms of, like, finance. So they can't keep their lifestyle up, so they've had to sell their homes and move into this place. It was really like an amazing, amazing afternoon. I spent like a couple of hours there. It was really great.
But it's interesting you say the whole perspective thing, talking about cycles of life. So I went to Daniela, my girlfriend, her grandmother's in a care facility,
mm-hmm,
and she's 91. And she's still there. I mean, she seems kind of with it. So you can see, like, her mind is lost. I mean, she's old, so she doesn't remember things. She repeats herself. All these kind of normal things you would expect. But, I mean, she's still there breathing and living, and she's vital as such.
Mm-hmm.
But you see other people around her. There's various states of just not there.
Mm.
So this one woman will just stare at the ceiling. This other woman will just walk into the room every 2 minutes and wave like it's the first time.
Oh, jeez.
And you look at all of this, and once you get to a point where you understand that you're not that special in life, and your life isn't actually that special, you realize that this is you, okay? This is the cycle they're in that you're going to go in. So don't think that you're too special for what you're seeing right now.
Ugh.
And you just think, like, wow, we're going to go through all of this, and this is just what this life thing is.
Mm.
And you see it in front of you, and it hits home.
Yeah, there's so many reminders around us every day just screaming at us, listen, you only get one shot at this. Do it as best as you can.
Yeah.
So...
And I also thought it was going to be this beautiful experience, and we were going to hold hands and kumbaya. No, just because they're old doesn't mean they aren't sassy. Like,
sure.
I walked in, and it was quite weird because I went around visiting hours, and everyone, like, some families were there for particular, their family members, of course. And I was the one just milling around, like, hi. Just greeting people, and some of them were just like rolling their eyes at me. Some were just grunting, like, who are you? What do you want here? And you'd go to someone's bedside and they just roll the other way, not even wanting to stare at you, just like, you're a stranger, get away from me. But I also just had the weirdest...
You must have...
Yeah, because I was trying.
Can you imagine Sia walks into some woman's room and she's grappling with the idea of, like, do I have three kids or do I have four kids? And then Sia walks in, hey! And she's going, oh my gosh, is that my grandchild?
Is that one of my...
Yeah.
That's one of my grandchild. I have no idea who this grandchild is.
And I skipped it out. It was weird.
And ever since, this woman's been racking her brain. Now she's shouting at people thinking it's Sia.
But there's just amazing moments that I'll never forget. There was this one particular woman, and she's Greek, and of course this moment had to happen over jelly because, you know, old people. She goes, yes, I came to South Africa when I was very, very young. And I was like, oh, okay, well, what happened? She goes, well, it all started when I was 18. I got married. But I wasn't in love. I was like, yes, grandma, tell me your story. What happened? You got married and you
at this
love.
Stage, Sia brings his bottle of wine out of his cooler box and takes his comfy seat.
Yes, he gets comfortable.
I swear, I loved it.
Fluffs up the pillow.
I loved it. So, yeah, it was quite a cool experience. I'd do it again.
Oh, okay. So you can phone an old age home and they'll allow you to walk in and just spend time there.
Well, it hasn't. It isn't as easy as that because, of course, they wouldn't just let any Tom, Dick and Jablani in. But really, like, even having to explain myself to the staff there at first, they're like, so what? You just are coming here? And I was like, yep. And they're like, just want to walk around and talk to them. It's like, that's basically it.
Yeah, but look, once they see you not there to steal magazines or something, they're generally happy to have
you. Because magazines as well.
Or what else would you steal from a Frailcare Institute? I mean, I don't know.
I had no dentures.
I looked around, there was... Okay, Sia, you make yourself sound weird now. But if you do want to get, like what Sia just did, I mean, you can do this, and you can also donate things, like small things, like DVDs. These places need this kind of stuff, because think about it, all you do is you're sitting there and you're waiting for Jesus, to put it very bluntly.
Sure.
That's what's going on. So if you can donate books, blankets, decent chairs, you know, like comfy chairs. When all day you sit, chair is essential in this whole sitting thing. And some of the chairs obviously are a bit old and weathered, and sure, they've seen better days. So if you can donate these kind of things to a home near you, you do make such a huge difference. And for whatever, you know, people say, oh, well, they're old and they don't even know what they're doing anymore, but you can make their day like 2% better. That's just 2% better than anyone. It's great.
Yeah. You know, when you have the opportunity to help somebody out, do it.
Mm.
It feels nice and everybody is better for it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Look at us. We are the nicest three people in the world.
Yeah.
The show is so
you
positive.
Two are beginning to talk to more people. I'm going to old age homes. There's a nice little balance.
Oh, it's so amazing here.
Yeah.
Look at the air we're starting this week on. But I do have a slightly negative story. I've been watching this TV show. I haven't committed to a TV show in quite some time because I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But Stan Lee's Lucky Man was such an unsuspecting, decent show. So I watched it on Showmax.
Never heard of it.
Well, neither did I. I looked at this and it had some interesting graphics. And I thought, well, cool.
Okay.
Stan Lee, when he's not abusing masseuses, I'm sure he's still got some good ideas.
And so what's the premise of this show?
It's British, so it's not... The production value and all that kind of stuff isn't quite like a Netflix original, like Breaking Bad or whatever. But it's just general British actors that you see on everything else. And this dude, he's a lucky man. He has sex with this woman. He wakes up with this funny bracelet on. And this bracelet is this, like, century, generations-old bracelet that makes you a lucky man. So say, for instance, he's about to be in a car crash because he's wearing the bracelet, his car will miraculously skid into, like, this open area. Or he'll suddenly win at poker. Or he'll suddenly, someone's trying to shoot him and then the bullets will just suddenly miss or the gun will jam. But while he's doing this, he's uncovering this elaborate crime ring in London. And there's just various role players, there's hitmen, there's like people who are just like sort of Illuminati-esque. Mm-hmm. There's this person who's like, you don't know who he is until right at the end. But then you get right to the end. I'm sorry if this is a spoiler for you, but it's almost like they ran out of money with 5 minutes more to shoot.
And then
the credits rolled. I was like...
Did you finish like a whole season?
Yeah. And I sat there feeling like someone had just stolen my lunch. It was just the most deflating feeling when you invested in a show.
Yeah.
Like, we watched the last three episodes in one go. Like, I haven't done it in so long.
Mm.
So it got me thinking about this whole superhero thing. Like, if superhero, because it's Stan Lee. I hope I'm getting this right.
Yes, it is Stan Lee's Lucky Man. Yeah, just
so it's the whole it's the whole like make believe fantasy kind of thing, but it's now being brought into more everyday stuff, which I think is really cool. Now, Deadpool's coming out. Now, I desperately want to see Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the date release is. It's this month. It's May.
In South Africa as well.
No, I think this last week there were like global premieres, but it'll be sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
I don't have the date with me. But Deadpool kind of humanized, we spoke about this last week, kind of made it more human, this whole superhero thing, mm-hmm. where there was humor, and we saw it with the latest Thor movie as well. But the fact that it's coming into like series as well, this whole supernatural kind of thing, as someone who's been a skeptic for so long, I thought it was pretty cool. But then the ending, I was like,
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Wow. Is there a second season, or are you, that's it? You're not going to bother anymore?
No, that's it. Well, I don't know. Maybe they ran out of money at the last episode. That was it. Just, guys, it's all going so well. There's no second series. I'll just finish it here. Okay. Screw it.
Okay. There are two
seasons.
Is there a second season?
Two seasons, yes, with 10 episodes each.
Mm. Well, TikTok show, Max. I mean, jeepers. I'm sitting there. Sitting there with, like...
Oh, wow, geez, Stan Lee's still alive.
Yeah, he's 96, he's in the death pool. One of us has got him.
Do we?
One of us has got him in the death pool.
Oh, guys.
I forget who it is.
Okay, I'm just ready to put in money to the situation and start raking some cash in. That's it.
Yeah, so, I'll look up on this. I mean, I think it's a good show. Stan Lee's Lucky Man. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and superheroes came more and more into our life. But we must get into the show. Anthea is coming in today, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen Anthea in studio for ages.
Well, so by ages you mean 2 weeks?
No, like 3 weeks. I wasn't here the one of the Mondays, and then she arrived with chocolate in the 1 week, and then she's just been all over. Do we have Rich today?
No, we don't have Rich.
We don't have Rich.
He's traveling.
Okay, Rich is traveling, but Sia does wonders, I've got to tell you. So Gareth doesn't give him enough praise for what he does behind the scenes in this show.
Really now?
He has laid on one hell of a Monday for you, which we'll get to throughout the course of the morning. There seems to be a slight problem with the connection. Sorry, we haven't got to messages just yet. I'm going to have to refresh this and refresh that. Before we know it, the Monday will be onwards and upwards. So before we get into the five things that... you need to know, just on the superhero thing, there has been an official ranking of who the best cast or the best superhero actor is of all time through the Marvel franchise.
Sure, okay, because this is not going to cause arguments at all.
And which one is Marvel again?
So Marvel's Iron Man, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four,
okay,
X-Men, Ghost Rider, Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I hope I got this right. So it's the big one. It's the big one.
Like, so Infinity. What's the new one? Avengers. Infinity something.
Yes, the Avengers.
That's not Marvel.
Yes, if the Avengers is part of Marvel. So whatever Superman is, what's Superman? Okay, Superman's the other side. That's why Superman and Batman.
DC Comics.
There we go. That's why they had to make that crap movie Batman vs Superman, because Marvel are kicking their butts in the superhero world.
Oh.
And they were like, "Well, guys, we need collaborations."
Oh.
And then they got together for the cockiest superhero movie ever. So the greatest actor of all of this, and let's be honest, there's quite a few.
Wait a minute. Are we ranking actors here or characters?
The best Marvel movie actor ever.
Okay.
So think of all those great Deadpool, Blade, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men, The Avengers.
I'm sure they'd say Hugh Jackman.
That's what you think, Sia, but no, it's not Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's not even in the top three. He's fourth.
He got ripped enough. Yeah, it's fine.
So you think Avengers, that's also Thor. There is a lot of good actors in this whole thing.
Who's the dude in the wheelchair in the X-Men?
Oh, Professor Xavier.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Oh, damn it. Who's the top three then?
All right, so Tommy Lee Jones in Captain America. The hell was he in Captain America?
Oh.
I don't know, but he's the third best actor. James McAvoy. Who is he?
Isn't
X-Men First Class.
He's the blue... No, that was Jennifer Lawrence.
No, he was the young version of Professor X.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't rate him second.
So he plays Professor X before he started suffering whatever degenerative condition he had that led him to being in the wheelchair.
I didn't know you were like so.
It's only because I watched X-Men. I'm not into this at all.
Okay,
I just happen to know that
all
movie.
Right, okay.
But I mean, she is whipping these out.
Professor Mabali Xavier here. So that means, obviously, the best actor of all time in Marvel is. Well, again, if the Avengers is the big clue here. Because Avengers have got everyone.
Please don't say. What's his name?
Thor.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, it's Robert Downey Jr. He's been rated the best ever actor in the Marvel action. Iron Man is a great character. He's rich. He's way more hardcore than Batman. So Batman's whole thing was like, oh, I'm rich. And everyone's like, yeah, I want to be like Batman. But then Iron Man comes along. He's got this suit. He's not some stupid bat who lives in a cave.
Oh.
And he's got this suit and he can fly. And then it's like, well, winner. So Iron Man killed Batman, and Robert Downey Jr., of course, is the greatest actor in superheroes. But it's an interesting list because, okay, Hugh Jackman's fourth. Mm. There's no women's. It's 12th.
No Halle Berry, no Jennifer Lawrence.
The highest ranked, again, this is on Ranker.com, where a lot of these things work for every, like, there's a lot of people participating here. Sally Field was nominated as the best Marvel actor, and she was in Spider-Man as clearly a, I don't know. Sally Field, really, at number 12.
We're always reading out these statistics and surveys. I think we should start creating our own.
No, we should. But yeah. Kirsten Dunst, she had to put up with Tobey Maguire, that drip of a human being. She's 21st on the big list. Judy Greer in 23rd, and Ant-Man was the next woman's. And then 24th, Scarlett Johansson. She was, she's an Avenger.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, we need to start.
So Ian McKellen, Mubs, all the way down at 31. So he's Ian McKellen. He's Ian McKellen. He's the Xavier, right?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know his name.
Yeah, so if you are particularly special or into Marvel action hero, all that kind of stuff, Robert Downey Jr. has been ranked as the top guy. Ranker.com. And if it's on Ranker.com, then obviously it's true. It's just true. All right, so we need to get the five things you need to know with Pabali Maloy, but first.
The year is 2031, and you just arrived at Lollapalooza. Yes, you are about to get your party on. But first, the security check. Here you're fitted with a tracking collar and searched for illegal substances like gluten, lactose, nuts, and things that were made in a factory that processes nuts. Next, you are funneled into the queue to the pre-festival sensitivity training center, where you are issued with a whistleblower whistle to alert authorities to any misconduct. One short blow to report inappropriate words or hand gestures. Two short blows for unauthorized dance moves like twerking, dabbing, or waltzing. And of course, one long blow if someone makes eye contact with you while blowing on their whistle. It is almost party time. After you are instructed to stay in your pre-assigned area at all times, the doors of Lollapalooza open before you. You are in a safe space. The song being performed on stage was approved by a team of civil rights lawyers, nursery school teachers, and the global head of HR. You're having a perfectly safe time when the music is suddenly drowned out by whistling. Some troublemaker, no doubt tripping on macadamias, has wandered outside his pre-assigned area and is quickly dragged off by security. Party on, man. Party on. The future's coming, so travel before it's not fun anymore with Flight Center Youth and Adventure.
I love that ad because, let's be honest, it's kind of true. Anyway, Maps, five things that we need to know for today, the 7th of May.
Well, the Cape Town Mayor, Patricia de Lille, says that she is going to hold on to her job until her battle with her party is over. The DA have put talks on her political future on ice for now. The federal executive was meant to make an announcement on whether or not it will fire the mayor. DeLille says that if she's axed, she'll just serve the party with court papers because, hey, you're allowed to. So they've decided, okay, everybody just go back into their corners and let's reconvene, I don't know, at a different time. But yeah, she's saying, listen, I'm not going anywhere without a fight.
And a fight that she will give. I mean, she's street, is Patricia, if nothing else.
She's tough. She's not going to be messed around by a bunch of people.
I saw a headline yesterday driving around that said Patricia talks with the ANC or meets with the ANC. Mm. Again, that's just political posturing.
Sure.
It's like, you guys want to mess me around, I will mess you around.
Yeah. Speaking of messing people around, the office of the embattled Northwest Premier Suprama Humapelo says that it has received news about a plot to assassinate him. Ooh, JFK style. In a statement issued this past Saturday, the Premier's spokesman said that the plot involves hiring hitmen who have already been paid 250,000 rand. That's the going rate to assassinate someone. You heard?
250,000
rand. A quarter of a million rand. He added that a case of conspiracy to commit murder has also been opened at the Mahikeng police station. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago there was major unrest in parts of the Northwest with people protesting, saying that they want Mahumapelo out. So now news saying that, in fact, there were also people who were planning to literally take him out. Eesh.
Well, look, you hope this isn't the case. Everything has to get to this point, but you also believe it's a press thing. It's like, oh, I'm the victim now. Poor me. Because we've seen this before.
Then a 17-year-old has been charged over a gruesome power drill attack in Northern Ireland that left a woman with grave injuries. The victim is, or rather was, 38 years old, suffered from a severe head injury following the attack. And the perpetrator, a 17-year-old male, who has now been charged with grievous bodily harm with intent, possession of an offensive weapon in a public place, and theft of a drill. A power drill, people. How? Do you remember that gory, gruesome story here at home?
The athlete.
Of the athlete who was...
with a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw. Wow. And now the 17-year-old with a power drill. What is... Anyway.
Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah.
And then a man has been mauled to death by a bear after he tried to take a selfie with the creature.
Alrighty.
This one is coming out of India. According to reports, he spotted the injured bear on his way home from a wedding, and despite being warned by his companions, he sidles up next to the bear, and a stray dog reportedly tried to help the man during the attack, but its intervention failed to deter the large animal, and unfortunately he lost his life. Because happens, people. You don't take selfies with bears. I'm sorry.
Well, what did he sorry think to was be going the bearer of bad
news. He was on the way home from a wedding. That's the best line of the whole story. Had a few drinks, had a good day. Hey, here's a bear.
And people were saying, don't do it, don't do it. And then he did it, and now we're here.
Yes, my valet, I caught what she said. Bearer of bad news.
Is that what...
And I then, appreciate you.
And then finally, Stormy Daniels is, I guess you could consider it making it in the world, because she ended up on Saturday Night Live, where she portrayed herself in a Trump skit. You see, this is what happens here. This is what happens when you look for attention, and then when you get it, and now we can talk about you constantly. So, yeah, Trump, of course, who was being played by actor Alec Baldwin, because nobody does it better than Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Asks his lawyer, Michael Cohen, who is played by Ben Stiller, to call Stormy Daniels and to try to fix their ongoing legal battle once and for all. So if you want to check that out on SNL, Stormy Daniels.
See, sometimes I feel like my true calling is working as a brand strategist, because this is not going to last. Stormy Daniels, you want us to feel bad for you. Now you're also making fun of yourself. So you've lost our sympathy.
Mm-mm. But yeah, you've always got to think, how does Stormy Daniels make money in this world?
Oh, guys, she should have linked up ages ago with a women's rights organization.
That doesn't make you money, sir.
Oh, no. Here's a plan. You link up with a women's rights organization. They now back you up as a victim. After your 60 minutes interview, which you do in a crisp white shirt, which is buttoned up all the way. So even as a porn star, we see no cleavage. What? That says you're conservative and we feel bad for you. More than that, you then start going around with this women's rights organization doing talks. And people will now pay for you to speak. And then on top of that, you write a book. Stormy, I mean, then you'll have this long career of being like this woman's right leader. Guys,
that is a very good take.
I should
have
been getting 10% from that.
There's a very good take, but Stormy would probably kill herself to hang out with those women, because they hate her deep down.
Money or hanging out with these women for 4 months of the year, and then you can chill in a bikini for the rest of the month.
But
for the rest of the year.
I'm the wrong person to ask about this, but is she retired from porn, or is she still actively in porn?
I have no idea.
Because if she's still actively in porn, her next video is obviously going to be a big money video.
Yes.
Because they call the movie The Pink House or whatever, and she's with Donald. Because, porn
would be like The Gold House.
Yeah, I mean, porn is one of the original places where parody has been a big deal. I mean, Star Wars.
Yes.
Saving Ryan's Private. Yeah, you know I'm going with this. So Stormy could have a lucrative 3-movie deal on the back of the fact that everyone knows who she is, and the porn and the whole Donald thing. Hmm. You know, freedom of speech, you could still have a fake Donald porn star. Unless Alec Baldwin's career has really gone south and he'll just step in.
Well, she is directing porn films as well. This is what I'm seeing now.
Oh, okay. So
she's a director.
She's not on camera anymore. She's behind the camera.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are the 5 things you need to know today. Before we get into the sport, and of course, Anthea is here on the finance, we need to talk cryptocurrencies. Now, if you are into cryptocurrencies, well, you now care again because they are starting to get up and up again. Slight drop overnight, but Bitcoin is now currently trading at $9,333. Ethereum is up to 758. So those are the two main ones that everyone obviously lost a lot with or gained a lot, and there was a lot of upheaval. But so yeah, look, it's trending upwards. So maybe Anthea will touch on that and why this is happening. Or she'll probably just dismiss it because she has much better things to talk about. Screw you and your cryptocurrency, you fickle bastards. Right, we're going to talk about sport because it was a big weekend of football. Sorry, I haven't got my theme tune stuff. That's all on Gareth's computer. But Pep Guardiola was able to say he is the English champion this year. And he did so by saying that, well, it is so much harder than winning the Bundesliga and winning La Liga. Now, I don't know, Pep. I mean, we all get caught up in emotion and stuff, and it's really nice. His team threw him into the air, and it was after a kind of average 0-0 draw against Huddersfield at the Etihad Stadium. But he said there's just way more quality. It's far more difficult here in England. But I don't know, Pep. Blow out your ass. It's so easy to win the Bundesliga. Just manage Bayern Munich. They don't lose. It's simple. He, of course, obviously had La Liga trophies with Barcelona, which is a big deal, of course, because you've got to beat Atletico, you've got to beat Real Madrid. And, well, yeah. My whole point was that the Bundesliga is actually the most difficult thing to win in the world if you're not Bayern Munich. And La Liga, yeah, it's good. It's a good league. But a lot of people have said that your career isn't really complete until you've made it in the British Premier League. So good for Pep. And just on that, he... yeah, of course, there's no... They got to the 100 goals last week, and understandable. Now, to look at the actual log... Now, obviously, there's two sides to the coin here. This is a very interesting time of year because there's two games left, although some teams have already played the extra game. So it's looking at the top where Pep's team has won, and you look at the bottom. Well, that is where it doesn't look so good because now Stoke, my buddy, your team for all these years is now gone. They've been relegated.
Well, you know what? You win some, you lose some.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. There was no nice way of breaking it to you. That's why I was stammering through that. But Stoke are out. They've gone down to the next first division, nationwide division. So it's quite interesting because now West Brom is on 31 points. So they're essentially as good as done, really. They really are. Swansea and Southampton, they've both got a game in hand on West Brom. So West Brom on 31 points. Southampton and Swansea on 33 with two games to go. They play tomorrow, in fact, Swansea and Southampton. Huddersfield Town, they're on 36. West Ham, 38. So they're all completely safe, I would say. Crystal Palace did beat Stoke, sending them into relegation. And with that, they managed to give themselves another season in the Premier League. So all to play for this coming week. There'll be matches midweek and all of next week. Everyone will round it up. Arsenal played their last home game of the year. And with that, Arsene Wenger's last game at the Emirates Stadium. And, well, they beat Burnley 5-0, so that's all good and well. But then again, Arsenal and Arsene have always been specialists in the absolutely game-meaning-nothing thrashing. So as an Arsenal fan, I say that with much malice. Yes, of course I do, because I'm just bitter. So they're currently in sixth. They're still not going to get the top four. Chelsea beat Liverpool over the weekend, which is a big shock for them. Liverpool are looking to kind of obviously cement the top four place before they go into the Champions League final against Real Madrid. So they've got to get that one first. But now this is it's a big result because now it puts Chelsea just 2 points behind Spurs with two games to go. And of course, Man United, well, they've cemented second place there. They're already on 77 points. Interesting stuff. In La Liga, which is, of course, the Spanish one, well, Barcelona are now just three games away from becoming, I think, the third team ever to have an unbeaten season. They drew 2-2 with Real Madrid over the weekend. And Real Madrid, what a bunch of dicks. They, in Barcelona, are already champions of Spain. And they refuse to give Barcelona a guard of honor walking out into the pitch. Petty, eh? It's petty. It's just not very nice. In rugby news, it was an interesting weekend of Super Rugby over the weekend because I've got to say the Huggawadith, they deserve all the credit they get. The Huggawadith went on tour, and like most South African teams or any other team when they go to Australasia land, they don't do so well, but the Huggawadith were unbeaten. They beat the Chiefs 23-19 over the weekend, which follows on from their big win against the Blues the week before, so good on them. They are the best team in the African Conference, really, right now. Because the Lions lost again. They lost to the Hurricanes 28-19. But more importantly, they lost Malcolm Marks to injury. Massive, massive blow. This because, of course, he is probably the best rugby player in the world right now. He is the Springbok starting hooker. But we'll have to wait and see today, this week, how long he'll be out for. Interesting that. Because We are going into the June series against England, and it's a huge year because this is when Rassie Erasmus takes control of the Springboks and obviously gets a core unit to go into the 2019 World Cup. Malcolm Marks very much part of that, but he'll be out. So he has been playing like week in, week out. Other results in the weekends, the Rebels got hammered by the Crusaders 55-10. Big second half there from the Crusaders. The Waratahs, they lost to the Blues. The Blues finally winning something. They won away in Sydney there, 24-21. The Stormers, well, it was a great forward battle, and the forwards, the Stormers were superior to the Bulls, 29-17, although the Bulls will tell you it was mostly just a shitty ref. And then the Sharks, well, they took on a Highlanders team that, well, they were slightly jaded, but at the same time, 38-12, that is a big win for the Sharks team. We all know this quality here. They've had some pretty average showings early season, but 38-12 against the Highlanders, they'll take that any day of the week. That is a huge result, and well done to them. Another sort of footballish news, Sir Alex Ferguson suffered a brain hemorrhage over the weekend. Mm. Yeah, you don't want to suffer this. Huh? I mean, this is a bit more than a scraped knee. Rushed to hospital. He has had emergency surgery to obviously try and remedy this. He remains in intensive care. He's 76. And obviously, huge tributes are coming out from the world of football and the world in general for someone who's obviously been a icon of the sport. And look, he was doing well. I mean, he gave Wenger that trophy just last week, the week before, at Old Trafford. And suddenly, brain hemorrhage. Oh, rough. In golf, in the Wells Fargo Championship, which was a really big deal last week, because, of course, this week is the Players' Championship. Now, the Players' Championship is the strongest field in golf, commonly known as the fifth major, and that'll be taking place this weekend. But Jason Day came out on top at Quail Hollow at the Wells Fargo. It was a star-studded field that had all the big names you could possibly think of. But Jason Day birdied two of the last three, finished in 12-under, and he beat Aaron Wise and Nick Watney. Bryson DeChambeau in fourth, and Phil Mickelson, great return of form there, because Phil, okay, finished fifth here, he'll be playing with Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods in the first two rounds of the Players' Championship. And finally, Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby, however you want to call it. Maps that took place over the weekend, and the most interesting thing about this, I can tell you, was the $1,000 mint tulips that you could buy.
Sorry?
Now, why was it $1,000?
Yes.
Because Jennifer Lawrence, who is not one of the top-ranked Marvel actresses or actors, she was selling these to benefit her charity. So she's got an art charity. Now, what you could do, like the mint julep is, it's just synonymous with the Kentucky Derby, much like the big hats. So you could buy one of these $1,000 cocktails, and it goes to this arts charity she got going. There were only six sold on the day, though. Sorry, only five were sold on the day.
Oh.
$1,000.
But I mean, if you, people within the ranks of Jennifer Lawrence, they can afford that kind of thing. Why wasn't there more?
They can, you're right. Look, there were a lot of online sales prior to that. So 100 drinks were sold straight up, and you can get your beautiful mint julep, which was like gold and silver encrusted and that kind of stuff. But yeah, only five on the day were sold. Rough. I mean, if you ever want to go buy a girl a drink, I mean, that was it. Your opening line is the opening story about how Jennifer Lawrence loves arts and culture. That's pretty much it for the sport. It was just a big weekend of football, really. You know, there's just obviously huge tears are about to flow for all the teams that go down and all the teams that go up. It is 38 days until Russia 2018.
When's the official start date?
14th of June.
Okay.
It's the 14th of June. And Sia, did you know Russia as a country has more time zones than any other country in the world?
Because one of the biggest countries, right? Longest, widest.
Longitude? But how about that? So, 38 days to go. There's your Russian fact for the day. It is a country that has the most time zones.
Which means we're also 40 days away from our next public holiday.
What?
It's the 16th of June. Oh, maths is bad. Alrighty, folks. Never mind.
It's okay, so always trying to hijack my feature. I see your game.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate it.
For the first time in quite some time that I've been sitting here, and Theories and Studio. All right, Anthea, hi. How are you doing?
Hello, Ben. I'm well, thanks.
That's very good.
Did you have a lovely... chilly.
Well, May the 7th.
Winter is upon us.
Did you have a lovely weekend despite the winter?
I did. Took advantage of some of the sun that was around during the day.
Very nice.
You opened very nicely for me, by the way, asking about the cryptocurrency, because it was the Oracle of Omaha's annual general meeting this weekend. So Warren Buffett held his big annual meeting where there are thousands, tens of thousands of people that join. It's like a big hall. And him and Charlie Munger spent 5 hours answering questions. I mean, these two are old, eh? They're not spring chickens anymore.
Imagine your questions first and you sit there for 5 hours after that.
You'd be lucky to get your question asked, actually. But guess what? Of course, someone asked about cryptocurrency and Warren Buffett said they're non-productive assets. It essentially will not deliver anything other than supposed scarcity. What does it produce itself? Anytime you buy non-productive assets, you are counting on someone later on buying a non-productive asset. It does come to a bad ending. Cryptocurrencies will come to bad endings. Oh. That's not my opinion. That's Warren Buffett, who is the oracle of investing, at least in Omaha.
You don't disagree with him, though.
So true, Bhavan.
Oh, there you go. I can't say I do.
Yeah.
Anyway. And there's a couple of other things he said, but we'll get to that later. Let's start with a market update. Our market, we've been so volatile. I mean, April, we were up almost 4.5%. But this month has just been shocking. On Thursday, the market was down 2%. We ended quite strong, though. On Friday, Naspers was up 4.8%, which was nice, considering that the day before it was down 3% or whatever it was. I think this whole, what everyone's calling Ramaphoria, is coming to a rather abrupt end, because since he's been elected, actually the market is down, I think, about 3%. Oh. So where we thought it was all very exciting and things were going to be happening, it just hasn't happened as quickly as people are expecting. And in fact, there were a couple of other things that showed that. So Dis-Chem reported their results very much. I mean, it's not like the benchmark for retailers, but it can be considered, you know, you can look at Dis-Chem and say, well, how's the consumer doing? Very disappointing. Diluted headline earnings per share was up 6%, so still positive, but I think we were expecting mid-20s. So very disappointing. The share was down 10% at one stage when they reported results. And not only Dis-Chem, but also the other retailers, just because it was such a sign that the consumer actually is not recovering as quickly as we'd like. Oh. I know, it's an absolute shame. MTN reported their quarterly results, their revenue up 9%. It was okay, but mostly led by Western Africa, Nigeria and Ghana were the two kind of countries or regions that contributed the most to their good results. And then we had another consumer, Libstar, going to list on the JSE on the 9th, which is on Wednesday. But what they do with these new listings on the JSE is that they go to the banks, the institutions, the asset managers, and they say, we're going to list, would you like shares? And then the brokers, so the banks for the companies, do their valuations and say, we think this company is valued at X amount per share. And in this case, the guidance was between R12.50 and R16 per share. And it looks like Libstar, well, the book closed at R12.50, which is a bit of a shame because it's the lower end of guidance. And obviously, when you list as a company, what you want is a higher share price so that you get more money. Because all you're doing really is raising money for various things. So Libstar raised 1.5 billion rand. Not bad. They're going to use most of that to pay down debt and to expand the company. They do consumer food, so they provide things, anything actually, a lot of things, but kind of from the spectrum of gluten-free bread to Woolworths to household products such as laundry detergents. You know, so it's quite a variety of things. It is the biggest listing this year on the JSE, so very exciting. And this, of course, after, because remember we spoke a couple of weeks ago about Consol Glass listing. And they actually pulled their listing because they said the market was not conducive to good listings, or that they weren't happy about kind of the environment, if you like. And so they were going to delay their listing because obviously they weren't going to get the price that they were hoping for, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we are in the market at the moment with companies and results. And then some very disappointing news. Yanni Mouton, who you should all know, and I hope you've read his book.
No.
not yet. I mean, not yet.
He's the founder of PSG.
Okay.
Okay, we know PSG.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, wow.
See.
This is what you're working with this morning.
Clearly. Moving along swiftly. what did Ben accuse you of, Sia, earlier on? Trying to steal his
light.
Segment?
I see it's coming around this way now.
See, it's infectious, yeah. That's why you're stop doing it.
Okay, what? It's fine.
Anyway, Yanni Mouton wrote a book called And Then They Fired Me. It's a story about how he was working for the company. He wasn't doing so great. They literally fired him. Mm-hmm. He took some time out to think about what he wanted to do and then built this great company, PSG. So there's hope.
Oh, that's the best form of revenge.
Isn't it just? Anyway, he put out a SENS announcement with very sad news this week saying
What's a SENS announcement?
Oh, sorry. Stock Exchange News Service.
That is the term I'm dropping at least three times this morning.
But haven't you read your SENS this morning?
Yes.
Anyway, the SENS announcement, very sad. Yanni Mouton has early onset dementia. I know, it's very sad because he's very cool. He's out there. He's big. He's bold. He's brave. People regard him as one of the success stories in the business world. He has said, though, you know, he really did it to make everyone comfortable. And just to say, don't worry, there is a succession plan in place.
Oh, he's worth $1 billion. That's always convenient.
Well, Google.
But how old is he?
I think he's 72.
Oh.
Just check that for me.
Oh, shucks.
Can you check that for me? I think, if I remember correctly, yeah. And that's pretty much what's happening in the local market. I mean, that's the usual. How old is he?
Yeah, 70, 71.
Okay, so, yeah. There we go. And then a lot going on offshore as well. First of all, let's start with Friday, the boring stuff, which we think, by the way, as asset managers is very exciting. But like, you know, it happens every month. U.S. non-farm payrolls. The U.S. created 164,000 jobs in April, which is not that great. I mean, it's good. It's good. But we were expecting, or the market was expecting, 193,000. The good news is unemployment fell again to 3.9% in the U.S., the lowest since 2000, I keep reminding you about.
Well, that's quite something, because a lot has happened since 2000, all things considered.
Absolutely.
And for that to be the lowest does say something.
So if you know that, like, sort of pre-2008, we were in a bull market, right? And the U.S. was going gangbusters. And then 2008, 2009, and it was disastrous. So for it to recover all the way back is brilliant.
Yep.
Absolutely brilliant. And then very exciting, Apple and Tesla both reported results this week. Let's talk about Apple first. I mean, you know, there's nothing new and exciting that I really want to mention about it. Like, the iPhone X was a bit disappointing, probably better than the market was expecting, but I think still disappointing. Revenue for the quarter, $61.1 billion for the 3 months.
$61.1 billion. Okay.
And was that mostly driven by the iPhone X?
Yes. So the iPhone made up, no, not the 10 necessarily. The iPhone total sales made up 62% of revenue.
Wow.
iPad was surprising. Those numbers were better than expected. Mac dropped, so iPad sales were up 9%, which was, considering, like, I don't know many people who are still buying iPads.
No. I think you buy an iPad for, like, the back of your car or, you know, like, at events for fixtures, installation and stuff. I think personal use
I think the fad is over.
I'd love to see the breakdown of personal use of iPad. Rather, I mean, it's quite cool to put into a wall. Or like for a security screen or something.
Oh, that's a good point. Like to monitor and to control everything. Yeah, that's probably what it is. And then nobody talks about iPod anymore, so I won't even waste your time.
Oh, shucks.
And then Mac sales were down surprisingly by about, I don't remember this number off the top of my head, 12% I think it was. Don't quote me on that. Hmm. But the point is that Mac sales were down, which is very disappointing. So, yeah, so I guess, the iPhone's still making up a big chunk of that. Their cash on hand, this is the last thing I want to say about Apple, because that's an interesting thing. Cash on hand fell to $267.2 billion. I mean, and this was after they spent money kind of on acquisitions. But very interestingly, on Saturday, Warren Buffett, in his great AGM,
the Oracle
said that actually Apple just has too much cash, and the problem is that it would be hard for them to find acquisitions that are earnings accretive. And he's absolutely right. So if you're a company, what you want to do is buy, if you know, kind of your product range is where it should be. And you'll see it with the big companies. They go out and buy smaller companies that are startup, that are innovative, that have new ideas. And Apple are just kind of, well, what are we going to spend this money on? Because there's nothing that will enhance their earnings, which is absolutely true.
Jeez. And when you are at that level, you do fall into that trap of just getting into your own hype. Because how do you innovate, and what else do you do?
Exactly.
And how,
you want to
make more money.
It's interesting you say it, because you said you're going to report on Apple and Tesla. If Apple were going to stick money, they should stick it into Tesla.
Let's talk about Tesla.
I mean, that's why I'm quite keen to hear what you've got to say about this, because we hear so many different conflicting things around Tesla. In many ways, it's still a huge success, because it's not dealing with demand, supply, and the numbers and all that kind of stuff. In the greater scheme of things, it's a production car. People are saying it's a failure. But what they're doing is still a huge success. It's just, it's not going to compete against a BMW or a Nissan, that kind of stuff. It's doing its own thing.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Tesla. So let's just start with, no one is talking about the financials. So they reported financial statements. Everyone is talking about Elon Musk because he is just cheeky, quite frankly.
But the numbers don't lie. But anyway.
Okay,
yes.
So if the numbers don't lie, here's the problem with Tesla, is that they burn through another $1 billion. Their third quarter in four quarters. So they basically spent $3 billion a quarter. It's actually $4 billion in the last year.
This is what
innovation costs. Mm. That's what it is. So he's just spending
and
money.
And is it worth it?
And so everyone is questioning him. So everyone's saying, listen, Elon, so you've spent all this money. You've issued bonds to the value of $1.8 billion. Are you going to have to come to market for more money? Like, how much more debt can this company take on before it begins selling and becoming a success, right?
Yeah,
and making revenue.
But then he just goes, yeah, but I went to Mars. Everyone's like, I have a billion.
It's a bit like that, except one of the analysts asked him about the margins and about their debt levels. And Elon Musk turned around and said, oh, my word, boring, bonehead questions. I can't answer that. Move on. Mm. So he's literally.
Whoa.
Yeah. He literally said that. And he said, oh, what about the debt? And he said, can you not make a federal case about it, please? So he's very cheeky. And the market punished him for it. His share came off. Warren Buffett as well didn't have. So here's the thing. You know, Warren Buffett has this candy business that has a big moat of cash and kind of nobody's going to catch it. It's called See's Candy, SEE's Candy. And he said on Saturday that Elon Musk wouldn't, what did he say about it? He said Elon Musk wouldn't get into the candy business. And Elon Musk
got into the candy business.
Of course.
Tweeted.
Yeah. Oh.
Starting a candy company, and it's going to be amazing.
Wow, guys.
I know, right?
Sometimes we really don't evolve as human beings. This is just now a flexing muscle, and oh, I'm bigger and powerful than you at a bigger scale. That's all it is.
So I can't wait to see Elon Musk's candy company.
But what, $4 billion?
That's how much he's
in three quarters.
Through. Well, four quarters.
Quarters. Yeah.
A billion a quarter, basically.
Mm? Casual
stuff. But hey, innovation, as they say, huh?
Yeah.
It's the next big thing. Oh. That's what I'm sure he said.
Pretty much. He's like, do you not believe in this great thing, the next big thing? Yeah, that book. Have you read the book, The Next Big Thing? You must read it. Very good.
Okay, there's two books got to read.
Yeah, no. And then they find me and this one.
Yeah. And then the last thing we want to talk about is that Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Who are they?
It's a great cat name. Xiaomi.
Has filed to list on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. It's going to be the largest listing since 2014. And again, it's worth the valuations are anything between $10 and $100 billion.
Wow.
It's crazy, right? I mean, I don't know if you've seen them, actually. A couple of months ago, somebody showed me one of their phones, and I was like, oh, it's so cheap, and look, it does everything the smartphone does, or the iPhone does, which it's not true. Mm. but I think that is the point, you know, it's the Chinese smartphone that they're going for. We'll see.
Well, they got big volumes, they've got a big stake over there. Whether that works the rest of the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are more brand conscious anyway. Anthea, is that it for today?
That's it.
If you drop something.
I'm going to strangle myself like with a cord.
There's a headphone cord fighting back here. You can catch Anthea every Monday. Otherwise, for her podcast, cliffcentral.com, for all money matters, all things in business and finance and shares and stocks and books about people who you should be reading. That's Anthea's new feature.
Yes.
Reading with Anthea every
Monday. Anthea's
Book Club.
That's what we're taking on a Monday as well.
All right. Well, from good news if you are into some of the stocks and shares, and good news if you're a fan of Sia. He's next with Said by Sia.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this story this morning, I think, is just such a good news story just to spread. But for the guy involved, well, the two guys involved, this is fantastic news. It seems like such a fairy tale situation. But particularly, let me start off by talking about Kieran Graham. He's 20 years old and lives in Georgia in the States. Now, he has lived with his loving family, but he was adopted by this family from when he was a little baby. And although he was happy, he was always very curious to find out more about his biological family. So for Christmas last year, this is in 2017, Kieran's mother gave him a DNA test kit so that he could explore his roots. And so upon taking this up and finding out the results of the DNA test, Kieran was shocked to then find out that he had a biological brother, 29-year-old Vincent Gant, who lives not only in the same town, but also goes to the exact same university that Kieran goes to. I mean, he's just 15 minutes away, and these guys practically walked past each other every single day, but they didn't know that they were brothers. And so you think this is all cool and so awesome as it is. Well, listen to this. After the two brothers have now linked up, they then thought, okay, let's take this further. They went to find out the more deeper into their ancestry, their family ancestry, and they dug up some more information on that. And guess what they found out, folks? They found out that they originally come from Africa, and not just anywhere in Africa, Benin in particular, and they are royalty. Drops freaking by. Wow. Because of this, they were now able to travel to their capital city of Benin here in Africa, and they were welcomed with open arms as the lost kids of the royal family. I mean,
what kind of benefits does that come with? You know, what's in the T's and C's?
Well, who knows at this point? And I'm just surprised that the royal family has accepted them so willingly. But look at this, you know, Kieran and Vincent, who grew up just not knowing who their families are, grew up just as adopted kids, and now discovering more about their family, they now discover their royals. I mean, they did not freaking hit the jackpot or what? So that's your advice here for this morning. I think it's so incredible. And what are the freaking chances?
Very nice, yeah. Giving hope to the ones who might not have any today.
Well, I just hope I'm freaking royal somewhere down the line.
I gotta say, I talk about hope. There's a pretty fiery message on the Telegram, which I'll get to in a second. But as you know, industry leader Auto Central has joined forces with us here at cliffcentral.com to bring you Auto Central. So Auto Trader.
Yeah,
opening line messed it up. Auto Trader has joined forces with us here at cliffcentral.com to bring you Auto Central, an expert motoring infotainment show. Get behind the wheel every Monday, 9 till 10 a.m. So today, with the team, as they gear up for all things motoring. From the more affordable to the more desirable cars, bikes, 4x4s, and more. There really is just so much to choose from. The show aims to make everyday shopping decisions easier. Who doesn't want that? While putting some fun back into motoring. We have George Meany here, CEO of Auto Trader, every Friday, and he brings you insights into the world. Well, now you get a full hour of motoring right here, Auto Central. So get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Otherwise, you can listen live. So we uploaded the messages this morning, as per usual, and we're on to Telegram. More people use Telegram nowadays than WhatsApp, I do find quite interesting. So one of our listeners has sent in three pictures. It doesn't make like – can you guys see the pictures here? I'm scrolling.
Okay.
Two guys sitting next to each other looks like they're having a chill session.
Yeah, they're just chilling. Right. Then the message with that goes, nailed this straight guy over the weekend. Success.
Okay, now.
So the three pictures are just like these two guys sitting on the couch, and then the message is, nailed the straight guy. But who's who? Because the message is anonymous.
Yeah.
Talk about a plot twist. I'm expecting just, you know, hey, just wanted to let you know.
What a weekend, hey?
You know, if he's sending it to us, I wonder how many other people he sent it to.
And then the next message, it gets better.
Uh-oh.
Every so often, it's always good to know you can get someone to question their morals.
He's proud of his conquest, I guess. He's proud of his conquest.
There's so much more to the story. There's no surprise with the whole Robert Downey Jr. thing. That was just very interesting. But the whole most loved Marvel actor. iPads are apparently for school use. That kind of makes sense. You know, you have your iPad, you've got your work on it, textbooks and stuff. And then there's some constructive criticism. Ben, why don't you just get your theme tune on a flash stick from Gareth before he leaves next time? Smart.
You know, in 2018, hey, these things can be done.
Well, I'll look into what a flash stick is. Right, so we've got a lot to get through in the second hour. And with Anthea being here on a Monday for an extended money shot, of course, we are running a little bit behind time. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm sure you're in a good place. I hope your Mondays get off to a great start if you're listening live to us. And yes, it's a full week. But that's okay because we've got full schedules. We're living happy lives because there's been a happy show, guys, has it not?
Yeah.
Look at us. We're basking in the happiness. It's only going to get better.
This is CliffCentral.com.